Phone records released to the New Jersey legislature as part of its Bridgegate investigation cast doubt on sworn testimony by a top Christie aide. And as WNYC's Andrea Bernstein reports, they also call into question Governor Christie's own story that the scandal was so unimportant to him that he barely paid attention.
Until now, in thousands of pages of documents released by the legislature and Christie's own legal team, there's been just one mention of a text message to Governor Christie about the lane closures. That one text was revealed by incoming Chief of Staff Regina Ejia, who was questioned under oath last summer by State Senator Loretta Weinberg.
Do you have a copy of that text that you might have sent to the governor?
I do not.
If, in fact, you may have texted the governor about that, why would you not have been able to supply it?
I did not retain it.
Ejia said she deleted it. She couldn't remember when. When questioned in August, the governor said he had no recollection of it.
It obviously was something of no moment or no import.
But phone records provided to the legislature by AT&T show 12 exchanges between the governor and a top aide on December 9th, 2013. That was the day the official story began to unravel, and details of a politically motivated traffic jam on the George Washington Bridge began to come under sharp focus in sworn testimony to the New Jersey Assembly. In the testimony, Port Authority Executive Director Pat Foy called the closures aberrational, unprecedented, odd, and shameful. And he said the pretense for the lane closures was made up.
Was there a traffic study? I'm not aware of any.
You're not aware of any traffic study?
No, sir.
It's impossible to know what was said in the text between Christie and Ejia. AT&T says it no longer has records of the content of those messages. And neither Ejia's lawyer nor Christie's lawyer, Randy Mastro, responded to repeated requests for comment. But a timeline put together by WNYC shows a close correlation between key moments of the testimony and when the texts were sent. First up that morning last December was Port Authority Bridge and Tunnel Director Cedric Fulton. He testified that Christie aide David Wildstein had called him on a Friday to inform him the Fort Lee lanes would be closed the following Monday.
And what did you ask him?
First, I asked him whether or not he had communicated his intent to the executive director.
And what was his response?
Don't worry about that. We will take care of it.
Wildstein did not take care of that. As Fulton testified, contrary to usual procedures, the plan was hidden from motorists, the police, and top Port Authority officials. Around the time Fulton was explaining this, Christie sent the first of the 12 text messages exchanged that day with Regina Ejia. A bit after that, Robert Durando, the general manager of the George Washington Bridge, testified the bridge closures were unprecedented. But when asked by Assemblyman John Wisniewski why he went ahead anyway and closed them, Durando expressed a fear of crossing Christie's number two man at the authority.
I was concerned about what Mr. Wildstein's reaction would be if I did not follow his directive.
Mr. Wildstein have the ability to terminate your employment?
I suspect he does.
Minutes later, Ejia sent two more texts to the governor, who immediately responded. Later that afternoon, Assemblyman Wisniewski threatened to subpoena Christie's top staffers at the Port Authority. That was the time of the last text of the day from Ejia to Christie. All this isn't really surprising. The two were communicating on a day of testimony important to a lot of people in Trenton, New York City, and Albany. But until now, a top Christie aide has maintained under oath there was just one text, and Christie's lawyers have said there were none. Instead of a governor too busy to pay attention to traffic jams, the existence of the texts suggests an engaged Governor Christie, keeping a watchful eye on developments as the scandal unfolded. For WNYC, I'm Andrea Bernstein.